Sounds so good. I'm going to go ahead and invite my friends up, Pastor Mike, Pastor Adam, Pastor Ray. Come on up and join me on stage. And thank you for your help, Sherry and Doug and Ray. Thank you. What is it? The moving team from Fair Play? Sherry, I don't think that's very funny. I don't know why. The crack moving team from Fair Play. So as the guys are coming up, I thought of this illustration. Is that I love Pop-Tarts, probably too much. And there's something, if I don't have time to make my cereal or oatmeal or something, I grab a Pop-Tart. And the one complaint, and I love them, but the one complaint I have with Pop-Tarts is that once they're out of the box, I don't know what flavor it is. I don't know what's in here. Now, I've got Rhonda likes the kind that are strawberry with no frosting, and, I only eat those as they taste like the Lord's Supper. You know, they're so bad. They're just taste. In fact, I think we probably use them for the Lord's. Just break those up. But that's the thing. They don't put what's in here. So I honestly don't know what kind this is. We've got two or three different kinds. It could be brown sugar cinnamon. It could be frosted strawberry or regular strawberry. So you don't know what's in that. If it's out of the box and gets messed up, you can have it, Ray. What do you think it is?
Well, the good news, Mike, is they're all very, very healthy.
They're all healthy.
Yeah, healthy.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah, I could probably lose weight.
Yeah, that's right. It's like health food.
So I look at every day as like a Pop-Tart. When you wake up, you just do not know what you are going to get sometimes. It may be a pretty average day, or you may get hit with something you absolutely didn't see coming. And that's what I'd just like to get your advice on tonight, guys. What do you do? How do you handle those things that you didn't see coming, and they hit you hard? They're right in your face, and it may be something painful. Maybe it's not necessarily painful. It's just important, and suddenly you are faced with an important, life-changing decision, or maybe it's something good. Maybe you had something great happen that you didn't see coming, and you have to handle that a certain way. I know I look back on some good things that have happened to me that I don't think I handled very well, and I wish I would have thought through it a little better. So that's my question tonight. That's where we're going to go, and we're just going to talk, and I'm sure you have experiences. I know I've seen all three of you handle things like this, so I thought it was good. I sure have tons of respect for all of you. So what do you do when you are faced with some big thing, painful or good or important that you didn't see coming? Mike Knight, let's start with you. And I may butt in and ask questions, and if you all want to butt in, that's fine too.
Well, I think it's always easy to look back on events that were unexpected and take away things. I don't always know over the years when I'm in the midst of the unexpected things, like you say, Mike, did I always handle it exactly the way I could have or should have or whatever. And I wrote down a few things that I saw to be unexpected, and they're good things. You know, like when my wife and I were first expecting my daughter, Corinne. Man, that is great. That is great news. And my wife had told me that. She was several weeks along. A few days into it, you know, she said, "Hey, you know, I'm pregnant." A couple days later, I leaned over to her one night. We were about ready to go to bed, and I go, and I was joking, but I said, "Hey, when are you going to get sick?" Okay, don't say that to your wife.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd always heard about morning sickness and all these things. This is our first baby. Well, I'm telling you, the next day, she started to get sick. And she, man, she threw up just so many times. Literally, she would carry a cup. And no joke, 20 times a day would she get sick. She was doing this for 4.5 months into the pregnancy. We had to go to the doctor. She had to get a central line put in where it was like an IV that would give her nutrition because she was losing weight. And that was just an unexpected thing. We're so happy that we were expecting a baby, but so difficult on the health. I think about maybe health issues I've had. I think about my dad passing a few years ago. You know, from when we knew something was wrong until he passed away, 10 days. Mm. 10 days. And so these are things that, you know, you just didn't have your mind around, then all of a sudden it's there. So, you know, looking back, several times I thought to myself, I wonder if I have enough emotional structure built into me to handle these moments. I didn't feel like it at the time. But one thing I always thanked God for in those times is that I had friends that I could go to and say, wow, I'm really struggling with this, or I don't know what to do in this moment, or can you pray for me, or can you support me, or give me words of encouragement. So during unexpected times, my friends and some type of a support group were always important to me. And then a verse that has always meant something to me, we talked about it tonight in prayer meeting, Ray, was, you know, Psalm 100, verse 5, I can just remember that the Lord is good. Mm. He's good. So sometimes, even when I don't get what's happening, I don't know what's around the corner, it's a brand new circumstance, I'm trying to deal with it, I know that the Lord is good. And man, I sure have appreciated my friends over the years. And I've found that all of those events, as long as I'm, you know, it's an opportunity for me to draw in closer to God. All those unexpected times, I'm drawn in closer to God. And then looking back, I think some of the experiences I've had, because God has been with me and maybe helped me in those times, I've been able to be give some perspective to other people that are going through something similar. And I just thank God that he's able to use some of my difficult things in my life maybe to be one of those friends to somebody else who was going through something similar. So that's some of the things I think,
that's
Mike.
Awesome, Mike. That's awesome.
Thinking about.
That's awesome. Pastor Adam, I know, I mean, we're all busy. You are very busy. I thank you for coming tonight, being a part of this. We really, really appreciate it. I have and obviously you can say anything you want. You probably have things that, you know, that you'd like to say. I do have a question for you is that,
by the way, let me just start by saying, always honored to be here.
Thank you.
Very, very honored by the invitation to come. So thank you for that. Thank
you
all for letting me come.
Thank you. You are, lots of people look up to you just from the things that you just dig out of the Bible. It is, I sit back and hear you teach both in a staff meetings and in church, and it's just, I'm just so blessed by the things you dig out that I haven't thought about in that way, or I just haven't known before, and I just appreciate that gift you have. And so I guess my question for you is that there are people that look to you for biblical leadership and spiritual leadership. Does that make unexpected things easier? Easy? Do you have the same battles we have, or is it different for you because so many people look up to you? How is it for someone who we look at as a leader to handle unexpected things in their life? That's my question to you,
Mike. That's a really good question. I mean, I think the short answer is, and I think God's got his reason for doing it. I would say it's exactly the same. Hmm. You know. Unexpected things happen all the time. I think Mike was just pointing out some of them are good, some of them are opportunities, some of them are really hard, but, and I think everyone knows this, but I'll just say it out loud, but, you know, being someone that's called to pastor and doing those things, and does it make you immune from the normal happenings of life? I think part of that is God's goodness, too. I say that our God, is a God that gets, understands, and has put in motion incarnational ministry. And what I mean by that is it's not like God, you know, interacts with us from afar, and we see the incarnation most perfectly in Jesus, you know, Himself. The virgin birth, you know, which we're getting ready to celebrate here in a month and a half, and Jesus walking amongst us. But then even after Jesus' ascension, He sends His Spirit to live in believers. Well, why is that? Well, because incarnational ministry continues. Now it's just one believer to another believer. So even for somebody that's in a position that's been called, whatever you want to call it, I want to call it leadership, pastoring, whatever you want to call it, shepherding, you know, I think part of God's goodness to us in incarnational ministry is whoever your pastor is or who your spiritual leader is, you can know for certain they have and are going through maybe not the identical thing, but similar things. Mm. So I would say from that standpoint, yeah. So I say yes, and then I turn around and go, and in some ways, I'm not saying this to say, woe is me, Mike. Sometimes it's more challenging because you know people are looking to you and you're kind of supposed to have it together. But then you're going through stuff that everybody goes through, and you don't always have it together. You're just like everyone else. Life comes fast. Life comes hard. Mm. And so in that respect, maybe it's a little bit even more challenging because people are looking to you and go, hey, how is he going to respond to this? And I would say sometimes I've responded really well in trusting the Lord, and sometimes not so much. But I do think even that's a part of God's goodness to us. So I think that, I don't know if you want me to give more specific things, more specific answers, but to your question, the answer I would say is, yeah, it doesn't make us immune. We absolutely go through the same thing. We all kind of experience the same life, and in some ways it makes it more challenging because we do know people are looking to us of how are we going to handle this.
Right. Did your move to Bolivar, Pastor Adam, was that something that kind of baked in the oven for a while, or did that hit you pretty hard, pretty fast?
Yeah, so Ray might even can speak to that. Pastor Ray might even can speak
to that. He's next.
Yeah, yeah. I want to give a quick answer to your short question, but let me say this. I would say the answer was both yes and no. Mm. It was quick and it baked. But how did I process through that? Let me just mention a few things here. And I think for me, Mike mentioned a few principles that help to remember when life or the unexpected comes at you. So number one, I just would like to say to everyone, and this kind of goes back to what I was just saying, it is okay to not be okay. Hmm. I think that is something we need to... In other words, I'm a Christian, so that means nothing should rattle me. That's not true. Where do we see that in Scripture? Well, just go read the Psalms. We have a whole book called Lamentations. Well, why is that? Because that's one of the prophets, Jeremiah, lamenting things not being as expected, and it was not easy. So, first of all, it's actually okay to be okay, not be okay, and to let God know I'm not okay and I don't know what to do with this. He knows anyway, and so that's one thing I would say. Number two, I would say, and I think Mike was getting to this when he said Psalm 105, you know, God is good. So here's what I would say, an application of that is, even when you're not okay, remembering that God is not out to get you. Mm. God is not a God who's out to get you. And so whatever it is that you're going through or whatever it is that you're facing and whatever it is that you're trying to decide that you weren't expecting, here's what you can know for certain. It's not like God is waiting for a gotcha moment in your life. He's not trying to create a gotcha moment and, you know, push you down. That's not what's going on. So whatever's going on, that's not what's going on. And the final thing I would say, and this really gets to your question, is I always remind myself when the unexpected happens that at the end of the day, the most important thing, decisions are important. Whether I'm in Bolivar or New Orleans, God has a plan. All those things are important, but they're not the utmost. The utmost for my life is I am not pursuing a decision. I'm pursuing a person. Mm. And so at the end of the day, whatever happens, whatever comes my way, whatever decision has to be made, it's just good to remember what I'm actually doing in this, and the most important thing is that I'm pursuing Jesus and I draw closer to Him. Mm. And I don't know if that makes sense.
That's awesome.
So let me connect that then to your question. Was it sudden or did it bake? Well, both. So I filled in here last, and by last I mean 2021, August and September, when y'all were without a pastor, and I was just going to preach 6 weeks and that's going to be it, because my life was going fine. It was heading a certain direction. Things were going well, and I had no intention to leave it. And then I had a conversation with the search team one night because a hurricane displaced me. And so I had a Sunday night. And they asked me 7 questions, and the first 6 were about what do we need to look for in other candidates. And then here was the sudden part. The 7th question, would you have any interest in submitting a resume to us at all? Well, I had not even thought about it. It hadn't crossed my mind at that moment. I don't know if it had crossed their mind at that moment. But then all of a sudden, it becomes a process that was sudden, that was unexpected. My life was heading one direction. I was happy and satisfied with it. We were going to keep going direction, and now there's this other option there. And the truth of the matter is, even though I didn't realize it at the time, underneath the surface, it had been baking for a while. Because God had been re-engaging in my heart this reminder that I had been called to pastor. Not to teach pastors, nothing wrong with that, but to pastor. And so now something that had been baking was suddenly brought to the surface, and then it baked for several months. And I say it went through the process of, I couldn't say no, I have to say yes, to I'm excited about it. Mm. And I think part of that was just remembering these things we said. It's okay to be caught off guard, not be okay. God's not out to get me. He has a plan, and he's good. And ultimately, I'm pursuing Christ and what's going to put me in the position to best honor him.
It's a great answer. It's a great answer. Yeah.
For your information, am I on?
For your information, Adam, question 7 began brewing among the committee after you preached once. In the spring of 1984, I was pastoring in Normal, Illinois. That's about 150 miles north of Oblong, Illinois. And one Sunday morning, as people were walking out after church, Mark Tapmeyer, who was working on a doctorate at Illinois State, he said, "Ray, our church in," it was in April, "our church in Bolivar, the pastor resigned. Could I submit your name?" And I said, "If you can do that in good conscience, fine." The only thing I knew about Bolivar was a roommate of mine from Rolla had dated a girl that was a student at this little school in Bolivar. I'd never been here, whatever. I ended up, obviously, coming later, came in view of a call in November of 1984, and in one of those whirlwind Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekends, the committee took us to the cafeteria at SBU to eat in the parents' room. And we're eating, and I don't know who was on a committee said, "Look at those guys." And I look at the door, and here are 2 male faces looking in to see what that guy looked like. One of those faces was Bill Littles, right back there. Bill's face then looked younger than it does now. The other face was your father-in-law, Jack Stevens. Yeah, yeah. Well, long story short, I came, I pastored for almost just a shade under 20 years. I call it 20 years, which twice as long as any other pastor had served the church. Mm. The history now shows Billy following me is in second place, so to speak. Mm. I'm praying that Adam breaks the records. But nonetheless, when I came from College Avenue Normal to First Baptist Bolivar, the first Sunday I preached, Mike, get this now, you stat guys, the population of Bolivar was a nominal 5,000. That morning, there were 1,200 people in worship, standing room only. Curiosity factor was sky high. What does this guy look like, sound like, act like, whatever? I always tell people that's the largest attendance we ever had. was the first Sunday it's gone down ever since. Maybe you can, maybe that can be. But anyway, when I came from where I was in Illinois in a small church to First Bolivar, it was like going from the barnyard to the parlor. The staff, the first Sunday I was here, those of you that would remember George Baker, George walked down the hall, he saluted me. He says, "What are your orders, sir?" I said, "At ease." So, yeah. Anyway, so it was delightful. Also, and Adam, you made a comment a couple weeks ago. First Baptist Bolivar is not a hard church to pastor. Mm. It'll keep you busy. It'll work you. There's plenty to do. You'll never get done. But it's not hard in the sense that people are hard to deal with. Mm. They are not hard to deal with.
Very true.
It's just
very true.
It's just the way it is. And that there's a whole, that's another whole story. But anyway, that's a fact. And so what was so totally unexpected that spring blossomed out in December when I actually got here. And 20 great years. Mm. And I look around at the way the church has been able to move forward, and it's still good. And there have been lots of changes, but just one thing. We still give 25 to 30% annually to missions. When you add it all up, that's good. And I don't know if you're going to come back or go on, but that's one.
We're going to try one more round, okay? I've got three preachers up here. I'll do my best, okay? Okay, Mike Knight, can you, again, you can talk about anything you want, but just has there been something good, bad, important, painful, unexpected that happened to you recently or that you can think about, you want to share with us and how you handle it so we could get a takeaway, something unexpected?
About 3 years ago, my wife went back to school to get her master's degree, and so she finished that up in June. So, you know, we're not 22 anymore. And so, you know, we already had, you know, we had three kids, and life had a certain kind of rhythm and all that. So none of this stuff is emergency or, you know, or bad or anything. It's good. But sometimes it's just hard to understand the impact certain things will have on the dynamics of your life, you know. So it's unexpected. And so I think we had to learn together maybe how to operate differently together than maybe we had previously, because she was busier than ever. And, you know, I had to learn to pick up the slack. It took me a little while to learn how to pick up the slack, you know. And then the dynamics of how we spent time together every day. She would be at work. She would come home and study, all those kind of things. I'm just saying sometimes when things turn, you know, it's good things, but it changes the dynamics of your life, maybe how you're interacting. You got to learn to adjust. So I think all of these things, whether it's the examples that I gave, you know, whether it be when we had our first baby or things with my dad or whatever, it feels like it always takes me, at least for me, a little while to catch up. I got to catch up to the circumstance. It's like I've got to absorb the dynamics that's going on in my life, and that's why, at least for me, it's in all of those occasions, it was always super helpful for me to have a group, in my case, a small group of guys that I could go to and just kind of talk it out and them give me some biblical, godly wisdom back into my life. Man, I really needed that. So that wasn't a bad. My wife going back to school was awesome. She finished up. She's doing well, all that kind of stuff. But our lives changed, and we had to learn how to adapt and move forward. So, again, it was another life experience. I had to lean into God. I've got a different perspective of some of those things now. I feel like I can even counsel other couples a little bit differently than I used to. When things in life, you know, turn and shift and change, you know. So that's recent, I think. Yeah.
That's awesome, Mike. You've mentioned twice the importance of having good friends you can trust. I know that's important. I know it is.
I'm going to come back to Ray, and then Adam, I'll let you land the plane. Ray, do you want to talk about anything unexpected?
Week before last, November 3, 3 years ago, or 2016, 6 years ago, I was working over here on a house Mary and I had bought. We were remodeling to rent. Got a call about 2:30. My son Andy says, "Dad, listen close. I'm at the European Medical Center, Moscow. I've been diagnosed with glioblastoma brain cancer. They're operating on me at 8 o'clock in the morning." That was it. He lived for almost 3 years. He and Elizabeth, I think they developed this saying on their own. I don't think they read it. But anyway, they made plaques and gave all of us, and it said, "Life is hard, and God is good." It didn't say, "But God is good." No, no. It said, "And God is good." So it's not like life is over here, and then good is over there with God. It's all mixed up together, as Adam kind of implied. You know, it's all mixed up. Life is hard, and God is good. The other thing, what do you do when you have shocks? My wife has had health challenges all this year. She had COVID in January and in August. She had severe jaundice. She looked yellow for about 2 months in February and in March. She hasn't felt good. She's had her heart checked, pulmonary function check. Long, long story short, she had a PET scan a couple weeks ago. We were eating lunch Monday, and the cancer center called and said, "Can you be here at 12:15? It was about 5 minutes to 12. And so we rushed up there, and Dr. Leo, many a name many of you would know, told us Mary had small cell carcinoma lung cancer. Barely 48 hours ago. And she begins chemo and radiation this coming Monday. Life is hard, and God is good.
Amen.
And those things happen, whether it's a surprise possibility of going to Bolivar, Missouri, whether it's Andy, whether it's Mary, and then Judy's death in heart surgery. I mean, I professed faith in Christ when I was 8 years old. I have never had a doubt about that reality. And I've never doubted my salvation. I just haven't. And I don't let my mind play games with me that would push me towards doubting or questioning. It just, that when that comes to me, I just get reminded that message is straight out of hell. I don't need any straight out of hell stuff. So I just ignore it. I just, you know, and life is hard and God is good. And stuff happens, and whether it's super good news or other news, it presses you into the reality of God more and more, if you let it, if you want it to. And that's my desire. I'm older than I've ever been now. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Mary and I don't know what the next 3 months, 6 months, we don't, but life is hard and God's good, and He'll be there, whatever. So we don't have to despair, and I don't have to wring my hands, and I don't have to try to be a good example. All I got to do is walk with God.
It's an amazing testimony. Yeah, not just by what you said, but how I've watched you, Ray. I just really love and appreciate you. Pastor Adam, you have final words?
Yeah, so I'll just really, really quickly try to share kind of a recent something that caught me off guard. This December 24th will be exactly 2 years. So I don't use the term best friend loosely. I've got a lot of friends. Got friends on this stage. But when you start talking about best friends, I mean that in a very specific way. It's the type of people you can count on one hand, if not a few fingers. And it was December of 2020. It was the 23rd. One of those people that I can count on a couple fingers called me and said, actually texted me, "Hey, not so good. Think I got cancer. Things aren't going so well." So I will fast forward. And my friend Ross, so that was in December, spring break of March of 2021. I was supposed to go see him because it wasn't looking good. Didn't look like he was going to have long. And I had my plane ticket bought. I was going to fly and see him. His wife texted Holly, and we had talked a week or so before. His wife texted Holly on that Friday. Literally, I was finishing a meeting, going to go get on a plane, and texted Holly, said, "Adam can't come. Ross has taken a terrible turn for the worse." Went to the hospital, was in the hospital all weekend, and by the next week, he was dead. A week and a half later, I was in Arkansas doing his funeral. Mm. When you say this, Ross was genuinely probably the best man I've ever met in my life, the best example of Christ I've ever met in my life. Long story short, he married a lady. He didn't have any biological kids of our own. His wife he married had three kids whose biological father didn't want them. Ross adopted all of them and raised them as his own kid, took care of her, and there's a lot of other stuff that go in that story. I was actually in a church as an interim preaching through the book of James, and the weekend that all this kind of came down is I was preaching the passage. I was preaching the passage in James where it says, "Pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress." Well, I could think of no better example of that than Ross. Mm. So I'm going and I'm doing his funeral, and I was a mess. Mm. I don't get really emotional that way. It's not that I'm trying not to get emotional. My wife would just tell you I don't typically get emotional. I was a mess. That's why I don't know how I'm going to get through this funeral. Somehow I did, and I don't think that God took Ross to heaven for Adam. But there were some things through that I do think I learned. First of all, Ray, I will tell you this. That was about 5 months before I met y'all. In that moment, God began to prick my heart again, as hard as that was. Adam, I've called you to this. I met Ross when I was pastoring. And now I'm doing his funeral, and I'm shepherding his family and all these people that I'd once been the pastor of. And it was this prick in my heart that, You've been. This is hard, but you were made for this, because there's a sense in which, when you're called to pastor, it's like there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than getting to walk with people that otherwise you would not get to walk with through the genuine highs and lows of life. Mm. And you don't get to do that if you're not a pastor. Mm. And even that low of just being an emotional mess. But getting to do that, it was just a subtle reminder of God calls people to be incarnational with people that need you when they need incarnational ministry. And so there was a lot of stuff that began there, Ray and Mike, in that moment. I didn't fully realize it at the time. The other thing, I looked at his three boys. Two of them are now married. One of them has a couple kiddos. All of them are doing well. And I just sat there going, if it were not from Ross, these three boys would not be where they are in life, and they know it. Mm. They know it. Mm. And just the importance of investing in other people's life in the name of Christ and leaving a legacy. And you don't know how long or short that legacy is going to be, but understanding that every day and every opportunity, even and maybe especially the unexpected ones, is an opportunity to do that that ultimately points people to Christ. Whom we all need.
Amen. Let's give these guys a hand tonight. Thanks for doing this. Thank you very much. I'll close in prayer. Maybe we'll do this, we'd usually do about once a year. Maybe we'll do it a little more often. I sure have appreciated all of what you all said. Thank you. That was a blessing. Thank you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne in control and you lead us. You walk through highs and lows and mountains and valleys, and we love you. Thank you for being a good God, and thank you for loving us well. In Jesus' name, amen.